Chapter 41. A Smile.
Coffin has the dragon's back and fighting again, Jonath said, trying to peer through the smoke. Listen to them.
Pounding echoed across the top of the heights. Pavara smiled. She, Andral, Jonath, Amaran, and Canler had joined Loghain and the other Ashaman, along with some of the Aes Sedai who were bonded to them. They stood at the edge of the steep slopes opposite Dashar Knob, a half mile up from where Demon Dread's headless corpse lay. Another round of dragon fire sounded across the heights, though in the darkness they couldn't see the smoke.
Those dragons won't last long. Not if Taim's men have mixed in with the Sharans, Pavara said. The Dragoners can't defend themselves against channelers, and they're too easy to locate because of the noise.
I doubt Coffin has a choice but to use them, Andral said. He can't hold anything back now.
Ashaman!
Loghain appeared through the smoke, striding among them, Gabrella at his side.
It is time to move.
We're going to go defend those dragons? Andral asked.
Around them, dozens of other exhausted Ashaman hauled themselves to their feet, turning to Loghain.
No, Loghain said. We're going to move west.
To the west? Pavara folded her arms. That's away from the battle.
It is where your Amarlin fought Taim, Loghain said, turning away from her. The ground there, as well as many of the Sharans, was entombed in crystal. I want every Ashaman, soldier, and dedicated to whom I have not given other specific orders to begin searching. There is...
The ground shook, rumbling ominously, and Pavara stumbled. Andral caught her by the arm, though she sensed exhaustion through the bond to match her own. They didn't have much left in them. As the trembling subsided, Loghain continued.
Somewhere, inside that mass of crystals, is a golden scepter. Taim was said to have been holding it when Egwene Alvir defeated him. We're going to find it. If any of you see it, do not touch it. Send for me.
Loghain shouted the same orders to the next group of Ashaman. Andral watched him go, and Pavara sensed his frustration.
If that scepter is an Angreal or Sangreal, Amaran said, it could be of great use to us.
Maybe, Pavara said. I think those dragons need protecting more than we need that rod.
I swear there's something about that horn sounding. We should be attacking now, not searching for battle spoils.
The other Ashaman can do that, Andral said. We don't have to.
What?
Canler said, scowling. You're going to disobey?
No, Andral said. He said this is for men who didn't have any other orders.
We do.
Back at the start of the battle, he told us to watch for Taim's lackeys and to do something about them.
I'm not sure he remembers that order, Andral, Amaran said, rubbing his chin. And I don't know that if he did remember, he'd want us to follow it now. He seems pretty intent on that scepter.
He gave us the order nonetheless, Andral said.
Andral, Canler said, sitting on his heels.
I feel so tired I could hardly gather the strength to curse you if I wanted. None of these lads look any better, and you struggle to open a small gateway. How are we to stand up to Mishraela and the others?
Andral frowned, but had no argument in return. However, something occurred to Pavara. A way, perhaps, to accomplish something while exhausted. Andral perked up, and his eyes widened, and then he grinned.
You're a genius, Pavara.
Thank you, she said primly. Canler, haul yourself to your feet. I'll bet you, gentlemen, anything that we'll find Taim's men trying to destroy those dragons. We're going to give them something of a surprise.
What a mess this had become.
Mogadine kicked Demondred's corpse. It had been abandoned, the Sharans having gone to fight Cawthon's army and avenge their leader. Demondred. The fool had let himself become distracted. If you focused too much on personal grudges,
or if you let yourself be entangled with the worms you worked with. Well, Demon Dread had earned his reward, death, and likely eternal punishment at the Great Lord's hands. Now that Demon Dread was indeed dead, she reached for the One Power and found something else. A glowing river, 10 times as powerful, 10 times as sweet. With so many of the Chosen having fallen, the Great Lord had opened himself to her. Survival was truly the best way to prove oneself to him. This changed her plans dramatically. First, she burned Demon Dread's corpse to powder. Then she quickly wove the mask of mirrors. Oh, how sweet the true power was! And replaced her form with an image of Demon Dread's. She always made certain she could imitate the other Chosen. Demon Dread would be difficult, as he had changed so much recently, but she had paid close attention. No one touching her would be fooled. She would be careful. Disguise in place, she traveled to the back lines of the Sharan army fighting Cawthon's troops. Here were the reserve units, waiting to move forward, as well as supply carts and some of the wounded. The Sharan stopped sorting supplies to look at her, gaping. They had been preparing to flee the battlefield itself. They were aware, as was everyone, that the huge Shanshan army had joined in the fight. She noticed that there were a handful of Ayad in this group. Only 3 she could see. 2 women with tattoos and a grimy male channeler who squatted at their feet. Most of the others had been killed in the conflict with the Aes Sedai. The Shanshan. Thinking of them and that imperious leader of theirs made Mogadine writhe. When the Great Lord discovered the mess she'd made. No. He had given her the true power. Mogadine had outlasted the others, and only that mattered for now. He could not see everywhere, and probably did not yet know that she'd been uncovered. How had that girl seen through her disguise? It shouldn't have been possible. Someone must have betrayed her. Still, she had been working closely with Demon Dread during this battle, and though she had never been as good a tactician as he, none of the Chosen had been, except maybe Samael. She understood the battle well enough to take charge. She hated to do it, as it left her exposed in a way she disliked. But desperate times made for desperate actions. And actually, as she considered, she thought that events were going fairly well for her. Demon Dread down, defeated by his own pride. Mihail, that upstart, was also dead, and had conveniently removed the leader of the Aes Sedai from the battlefield. She still had the bulk of Demon Dread's shadow spawn and some dreadlords, some of the Black Adra, and 12 of the turned men Mihail had brought.
"This is not him," said an older man, wearing the robes of a Sharan monk. He pointed at Mogadine. "This is not our wield. It is..."
Mogadine burned the man to nothingness. As his bones fell in a heap, she remembered offhandedly from her eyes and ears that Demon Dread had shown that old man fondness.
"Better you should die, old one," she said to the corpse, speaking as Demon Dread, "than live to denounce the one you should have loved. Does anyone else wish to deny me?"
The Sharans remained silent.
"Ayad," Mogadine said to the 3, "did you see me craft weaves?"
Both women and the grimy man shook their heads.
"I kill without weaves," Mogadine said. "Only I, your wield, could have done this."
She had to remember not to smile, even in victory, as the people bowed their heads. Demon Dread was always solemn. As the people fell to their knees, Mogadine had to hold in her joy by force. Yes, Demon Dread had done good work here, and had handed her the army of an entire nation to play with. This would go quite well indeed.
"Dragon Slayer," said a kneeling Ayad woman.
She was weeping. How weak these Sharans were.
"We saw that you had fallen."
"How could I fall? You have prophecies, do you not?
The women looked at one another.
They say you will fight, Dragon Slayer, the woman said. But
gather 5 fists of the Trollocs from the back lines,
Mogadin said, turning to the commander of the reserve unit.
And send them upriver to the ruins.
The ruins?
The man asked.
Only the Camlin refugees are in that direction.
Exactly, you fool. Refugees, children, the elderly, women who search for the dead. They can't fight back. Tell the Trollocs to start slaughtering. Our enemies are weak. An attack like this will force them to break off and protect the ones that true warriors would just let die.
The general nodded, and she saw approval in his face. He accepted her as Demondred.
Good.
He ran off to give the order.
Now,
Mogadin said as the dragons fired in the distance.
Why haven't any of our Ayad gone to remove those weapons from the battle?
The Ayad kneeling before Mogadin bowed her head.
We have fewer than a dozen Ayad left, Wild.
Your excuses are weak,
Mogadin said, listening as the explosions stopped. Perhaps some of Mihail's remaining dreadlords had just resolved the problem of the dragons. She felt her skin itch as the Sharan commander strode toward a Murdral across the field. She hated being in the open like this. She was meant to remain in shadows, letting others lead battles. However, she would never have it said that when the situation demanded it, she was too frightened to go and... A gateway split open behind her, and several of the Sharans yelled out. Mogadin spun, opening her eyes wide as she looked into what appeared to be a dark cavern. Dragons pointed out of it.
Fire!
A voice yelled.
Close the gateway,
Talmanas shouted, and the portal winked shut.
This was one of Lord Matt's ideas, wasn't it?
Dered yelled, standing beside Talmanas as the dragons were reloaded. They both had wax in their ears.
What do you think?
Talmanas yelled back. If the dragons were vulnerable when firing, what did you do? You fired them from a hidden location. Talmanas smiled as Niald opened the next gateway in front of 10 dragons. The fact that many of the dragon carts were too broken to roll well meant nothing when you could open a gateway in front of them, pointing them wherever you wanted. This gateway opened up on several fists of Trollocs engaged in fierce combat against White Cloaks. Some of the Shadow Spawn turned horrified eyes toward the dragons.
Fire!
Talmanas shouted, waving his hand down to give a visual cue in case any of the men couldn't hear him. Smoke filled the cavern, explosions echoing against Talmanas' earplugs as the dragons recoiled, releasing a storm of death into the Trollocs. They broadsided the fists, sweeping them out of the way, leaving them broken and dying. The nearby White Cloaks cheered and raised swords. Niald shut the gateway, and the Dragoners reloaded their weapons. Niald then made a gateway above them, facing downward, to vent the dragon smoke out of the cavern complex and away into empty air somewhere distant.
Are you smiling? Dered asked.
Yes,
Talmanas said, satisfied.
Blood and bloody ashes, Lord Talmanas. That expression is horrifying on you.
Dered hesitated.
You should probably do that more often.
Talmanas grinned as Niald opened the next gateway to a point on Dashar Nob, where Aludra stood with spyglass and scouts deciding on the next place to target. She yelled through a position, Niald nodded, and they set up the next shot.